Hello and welcome to another edition of Ask Mike, where we put intelligent questions to the equally intelligent Mr. Mike Southern. Mike, welcome along.
Thanks, Nick.
Let's get straight in. Do I pay salespeople commissions, it says here? Do I need a salesperson at all?
Unless you're good at sales yourself, yes, of course you do, because if you're not good at sales, you're probably good at deliveries. You need somebody else to go out and bring in the money. So you definitely need a salesperson. Then, of course, you get the question, which is how much do you pay them and how much commission should you pay?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I remember when I first came down to London to sell Unix training for a third party. I was working for a recruitment company who had a training division.
Commission only you were on?
No. A small salary, but a big commission scheme. Yeah. And because the Unix operating system courses and C programming courses were incredibly popular, I was really doing well. I thought, oh gosh, I'm good at sales. So I persuaded Mike Banahan, who was the guy who used to come out of his university to give the courses, to deliver the courses. And he had discovered that I'd spend 5 minutes selling it. He'd spend a week delivering it. And I was on six times what he was. So when we started the company, we said, well, we can't have that situation. We got to work as a team. So, of course, you always incentivize people to do things in general, and specifically salespeople, but you don't give them huge commission schemes because, A, you can get some bad behavior, somebody doing something just for the commission rather than for the benefit of the customer or the benefit of the company. And also, if you're lucky 1 year and all your clients give you lots of dosh and you get a huge commission check, what's going to happen to you next week? Your targets are going to go up. So if you get used to the lifestyle of earning an enormous fortune. But now, I'm very much against commission schemes as such. I think everybody in the company should be on the same kind of deal, which is whatever it is you do, whether you clean toilets or write copy or sell, there is a market rate for what you do based around your age, experience, and achievement. So you can go to any HR consultants like our friends at Park City, who'll say it's in that range. You know, somebody at the bottom of the scale is this, somebody at the top of the scale is that. And it's not a large range. So that's what you pay them. And then everybody in the company should get some kind of incentive on how the company's doing. Now, of course, you've got to measure people's performance. And the easiest people to measure are, of course, salespeople. How much have you sold this week, this month, and so on? And of course, salespeople are the first to go if they're not selling anything. I mean, it's happened to me. So their job is more at risk than, say, a project manager or whatever. But again, you're usually making a promise, getting money, and a project manager is delivering it. And the ultimate success of the whole thing is about how well it was sold and how well it was delivered. So if a project comes in really well, nice and profitable, everybody should get a benefit.
So hang on, are you saying that we should operate in a non-commission environment and a salesperson should share no more nor less in whatever incentives, whether that's a bonus or shareholding or options or whatever, in the company along with everybody else?
I think they should get a bit more because it is a tough thing to do. You're out there getting rejection all the time from people that can be a bit nasty to you, but not two, three, four times more than a technical person is.
So your point is there has to be some sort of elastic relationship between a salesperson and the rest of the company's operations.
Exactly. And people should respect each other. People should respect the fact that a salesperson is out there in the big bad world being shouted at. And also, a salesperson should be aware that, you know, technical people have to do things late at night and deliver to your promises. Yeah. And what did you say, Mike? And when's it going to be ready? And you learn not to make bad promises.
But that's an interesting sort of role because I mean, you've said this several times, actually, that the sales guy's always the one who's out there and making crazy promises. Equally, the techie's the one who can hide behind their desk when something goes wrong.
Absolutely.
And won't have to face the customer
as well.
We
should all be in it together. I mean, I learned this very early on when we started the instruction set, where I was with some very, very good technical people, and I couldn't overpromise and oversell, but I really relied on them to deliver, just as they relied on me to get out there and get the business. So it should be a team effort. And think, you know, group bonuses. I mean, none of this is rocket science. There's plenty of really good practices from HR consultants, people like Park City, who can tell you what you should pay. But beware about getting really young people, paying them a fortune, huge commissions, because you'll burn them out, you'll get some bad behaviours, trust me.
And when times get tough, they won't respect you coming back in and saying, I want to cut the commissions.
Exactly.
Or whatever. How do I spot a good salesperson? They're all incredibly good talkers.
Right. Well, no. One type is, because there's three jobs in sales. There's hunting, going out and looking for new business. They're the good talkers. They can walk into a pub, make friends with everybody, and work out hopefully which ones might need your products and services. Mm-hmm. The chatty people. It's called a hunter. Then a farmer who goes back to existing customers and says, would you like some more? They can be very shy people.
So they're the relationship builders.
They're the relationship builders, which, again, the hunters tend not to have the attention span for.
Because they're off to the next one.
That's right. And then there's process people called sales managers who just look at a spreadsheet. So, yeah, you need some talky people in your company who are representing you well. A bit of a geezer sometimes. If people like that stereotype, you can play up to it if you like. I used to, I have to say.
Right.
Once I realized that was the stereotype I was playing to, I played up to it very well. But then at the end of the day, people did respect me for having the activity level, the going out there, the tough customers who wouldn't speak to people, all the stuff that good hunter salespeople do. And I knew when to hand over to one of the quieter people to do a bit more relationship building.
But how do you recruit a salesperson? Because they all talk a good game. And also, as you're saying, you know, you don't want to over-egg or under-egg commissions.
No, that's right.
At a time when actually many salespeople are thinking only about their commissions.
Well, if somebody's in that situation, which is they're only motivated by the commission, the customer will pick it up and they will like them less. They're thinking, they're not selling to me because they want to give me good product and service and get repeat business. They just want the quick buck. So again, a top tip in hiring salespeople is find somebody you like. Because remember, the chatty guy is going to be in the pub or wherever, talking to people on your behalf, representing your brand. And absolutely under no circumstances take anybody on who's like, well, we don't like them very much, but they're a very effective salesperson. They're really ruthless. They're really, you know, cunning. They're really, because again, customers will hate you. If you've got a control over the market, then people will have to buy from you, but they won't like it. As soon as they can switch to somebody else, and plenty of businesses have started up on the basis of, buy from us, we're nicer than the other people.
Your salesperson is going to be ultimately your representative out in the marketplace. If they can't adequately represent who you are, then you're doomed, aren't you?
Absolutely. So you take people on you like, and you know, maybe they've got a good track record. You always say, well, tell me about your network. I mean, if they're 19, they don't have a much of a network. But if they're kind of my age, it's like, well, who have you been selling to over the last 40 years? Who would pick up a phone call, have a cup of coffee with you because they liked you, even if you're selling photocopiers previously? The question that always came at these workshops I did with some recruitment people was, how long do you give somebody before you get rid of them if they're not selling?
Right, yeah.
My suggestion was, always give them a bit of low-hanging fruit to build up their confidence so they can work out what the best practice was. But when I do sales on a beer mat, I always explain that there's 10 steps to sales. You get up to step 5 pretty quickly. You get a list of prospects, you get it down to the good ones, you go and get a meeting, you qualify them, and you give them a sanity check. So here's somebody who says, yes, I'm going to spend a serious amount of money over the next 6 months, maybe with you. Then there's a big gap between there and the money getting into the bank. This is what I call the steps of misery. So my top tip is always monitor salespeople almost on a daily basis at that point, and also reduce the size of the sale as much as you can. Instead of spending the 50 grand now, let's spend £1,500 on something quite small to get the ball rolling. And again, this is where hunter salespeople begin to fall down, because they just want the big order.
Yes, they hate that step.
Oh, they hate all the little
details. They want the 50 grand.
But of course, the larger the sale, then the longer it's going to take, and the more chances are there for people to say, well, we're not sure, so we'll say no. You see, your ideal salesperson is good at time management. This is what I learned the hard way. If you don't get your time management right, you come a cropper pretty quickly. Because there's, you know, cost of sale, which is something that most hunter salespeople don't understand. It's all about, well, you may have got an order for 10 grand, but if it took you 3 days to get there and 3 days to get back, start doing the maths. A good salesperson should think at the beginning of the week, or ideally on a Sunday night, where's my lowest hanging fruit where I can get some progress as quickly as possible? You know, who should I give the first phone call, and who do I chase up, and who do I leave alone? And then get a good salesperson, one you like, will have a good instinct about that. Because some people need to be chased up. Other people, it makes it worse if you do.
And to be able to do that, you need that salesperson with that consideration for other people.
That's a very, very good point, actually, which is self-awareness is key to entrepreneurship in general, particularly to this. Because if you get a wide board salesperson who doesn't realize they're a caricature, then you have a problem. But there should be a happy ending for everybody. You know, you get the order, they get the products they wanted, everybody wins. It should be a win-win, because then you get into the really advanced bit of sales, which is negotiation, which is learning how and when to do a win-win for a client, and often walking away from business,
or
maybe 6 months in giving them money back, you know, just because you've done rather better out of it than you should have done. You know, things change. Customer knows this.
Yeah,
you could say, look, business is business. I'm not giving any money back, tough luck, you know. And they'll say, yeah, okay, you know, fair enough. Yeah, it says in the contract that's what it is, but next time I'm not coming to you, I'm coming to somebody who's a bit more reasonable.
Yeah. And of course, it's after 6 months, that's when you get the repeat business, that's when the relationship man comes in.
Absolutely. And if you're a hunter salesperson like me, you get that brilliant call when you're in the car. You say, you know, that client you sold 6 months ago, they've just reordered twice the amount, and you did no work at all.
Yeah. But the commission's still in your pocket.
Well, they probably twigged that. They probably say, well, we'll give you some of the commission. But again, you're thinking, well, I did a good job getting the foot in the door. Somebody else has done an even better job keeping us in there and building up the relationships, which I don't have time to do because it's always, Mike, we need new business, which is the call that the hunter salesperson always gets.
One of the things I see a lot, because I run a service company, is I see lots of salespeople who don't get that, for example, it's not like selling phones in a phone shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you feel they aren't going to put the effort into understanding what you sell. You want to see them understand and represent you properly. How can you spot that sort of thing?
Again, it's back to your instincts. If you think they've got no real interest in finding out about what you do, they think they're just going to be sat there and the phone's going to ring, they're going to take orders, which is kind of a nice sales job to have, but it's not a sales job, it's order taking. Mm. So again, go with your instincts. And the best question, you always ask for proof, which is, give me the name of somebody who's bought from you, who says, may not have been the cheapest, but I like dealing with them on a human basis. If they say, we can't give you any proof, then be very wary.
And if they can't give you any proof, they're probably also not people with a big black book of potential contacts as well.
That's the point, which is, even if we don't think we're in sales or whatever, we know 150 people, and they know 150 people, and that's 22,500 people. So whatever it is you're selling, somebody must know somebody who knows somebody. Plus, you've got all the online tools like LinkedIn, and you just do the work and you suddenly strike lucky.
So, in summary, do pay salespeople a commission, but not an insane one. Mm-hmm. Commission-only salespeople will probably mess you about.
Yes, if somebody's willing to do something for commission-only, be very wary, because good salespeople are being paid a salary and a bonus. Again, a commission scheme, you can call it a commission scheme. I call it a bonus, similar to the bonus that everybody in the company gets.
Share the wealth.
Share the wealth. Project comes in, it's measured, some of it's put away for a rainy day, some of it's given to the people who are involved in it. It could be somebody who took one phone call, it could be somebody who was with the client a long time. You can measure accordingly, but it's a very well-trodden path, and you can get people to advise you how to do that.
Excellent. Mike, thank you so much.